Incidentally, yeah, selfishness, like I say, different points of view. Here's one for you to think about. You try and think of any sin that does not have its root in selfishness. Try that on for size. How do I know I'm really saved? Well, if you got a doubt about it, I'd settle it. That's one thing. If you think you're saved but you're not sure, then what I'd do before I went to bed tonight, and maybe before I left this place here, I'd settle it. I'd say, now, Lord, if I've never invited you to come into my life and to control it, and I want to do it now. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you forgive my sins and save my soul. And now, to the best of my understanding, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come in and do that. I want you, Lord. I need you. And I thank you. Now, if you pray that prayer and you mean it, one of two things happen. Either Jesus comes into your life or he's a liar. You can bet your money and put the bet where you want, you know, take your pick. Because Jesus said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, the door of the human heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, there's some ways that you can test your assurance, for instance. I mean, there's some ways that you'll know. We know we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that. Now, that's one of the ways that we know. But the main way we know is what God said. We base it upon what God said. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that's where your real assurance comes from. I find when people lack assurance, there's generally one of two or three reasons. One of them is they're not saved, and it's hard to have assurance if you're lost. Another one is they are not in the Word of God. They're not feeding on the Word. Or the third one is they're living in sin. Now, generally, that's where lack of assurance comes from, one of those three. Either you're not saved, you're not in the book, or you're sinning. If you're not in the book, get in the book. If you're sinning, quit it. There's some things God won't do for you. That's one of them. He won't quit sinning for you. As a husband and a father of three, what is my first step in earning the right to be heard and obeyed as the positional authority in my home? Do what God tells you to do as far as your wife is concerned, as far as your children is concerned. And then you get your life deep down into God, deep down into the Word, and deep into fellowship with Him. And then your life will begin to reflect Him. You know, one of the most thrilling verses in the Bible to me, and one that's is a constant challenge, is over in Corinthians. Let me see. I believe it's third chapter, maybe. 2 Corinthians. Read down about verse 18. Yes. Listen to this. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what I believe that means, beloved, is simply this. That when we come to the Word of God, and the Bible speaks of itself as being the mirror of the Word, we come to the Word of God looking for the footprints of Jesus. And somehow, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and begins to work in our hearts as children of God to conform us to the image of Jesus Himself. Now, when you do that, brother, whoever you are, and that begins to happen, you won't have to gain respect. It'll be there. As you more and more reflect the reality of Christ, as the sweet savor of Jesus is an aura about your life, you'll have the respect. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's Jesus, the glory of the Lord, see? Are changed into the same image, His image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that thrilling? Huh? Ooh, boy. Is it possible to love someone enough that you can blot out the past and have a good marriage? Yeah? That's right. That's right. But that's divine work. Most women bury the hatchet, but they remember where they put it so they can dig it up again. and they have total recall. They can tell you where it was and what you wore and exactly what was said verbatim. 10 or 15 years later, they got it. You know, it's there. I would give you a couple of verses. Isaiah 43:18, Berkeley translation. But do not recall former events, nor consider longer the things of the past. That's a good word. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now I'll give it to you out of C.B. Ward's translation. That's my dad, who's been gone 27 years now. We were in business together, and we'd be struggling over a business decision. And we'd struggle and struggle, and usually about 6:30 at night, after everybody else gone home from the office, we would make a decision. And we'd go on home. We'd come back the next morning, and we were usually there before anybody else, and I'd say to Dad, Dad, about what we were talking about last night. And he'd look at me sort of shocked, and he'd say, that's a dead issue, dead issue, dead issue. Like he's killing snakes, you know, dead issue, that's a dead issue. What he meant was, we have made that decision, and that's behind us, that's a dead issue. Now that's Isaiah 43:18, C.B. War version. That's a dead issue. My wife could tell you that she and the boys understand that language real good. Could God bless a union no matter what happened in the past? You bet. Boy, I'll tell you. If he can't, we're all in trouble. I don't know anybody that comes to a marriage lily white. Do you? I never have seen one yet. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God takes our sins and casts them into the depths of the sea. And Corrie ten Boom used to say, he puts up a sign, no fishing here. And you know God forgets the sin? The Bible indicates that God, when he forgives the sin, forgets it. You come back to God and say, now God, about that sin I talked to you about yesterday. He'll say, what sin? What sin are you talking about? Only God has the divine forgetter, but he does. He can help us forget too if we want him to. We have a 13-year-old girl and two others close behind. We've tried to teach godly principles to our children with some success and some failure. What do you focus on now? We have a teenager. In other words, help. Well, I've got one teenager now and got another to be a teenager in November and just had one that came out of that. If you got all that figured out, help, come tell me. But I will say this, that Irma and I have attempted, by the grace of God, to set the pace for the kids. We've tried to be a role model, an example. They know that we have a quiet time every morning. They can't escape that. They know we memorize Scripture. They can't escape that. They know we witness because they've seen people come to Christ in our living room. They've been there. They know that. They know that we love God. We hope we demonstrate it. And having done all that we knew how to do, plus the fact that since they were little wee kids in a crib, Irma's made a habit of praying with them out loud every night. You know, when we're traveling like this, we get back into the motel at night, we call the kids because Corey, our 12-year-old, says, I can't sleep good if you don't pray with me. And so we call and pray with Corey, you know. And when we're home, the 18-year-old, he'll be 18 in September, he says, Mom, are you going to come put me to bed and pray with me? 18-year-old. And you know, they may wander off, but I don't believe they're ever going to go far enough to escape Mama's prayers. Whew, that sort of gets me. What should I do when the children mind make me so angry that I could scream? Yell at them. Woo, golly. Most of us don't have good attitudes. We just have untested ones. How about decide God gives us children not that we might raise them, but that they might raise us? Well, I'll tell you, that's something else. Well, you just find out that's part of the deal, I guess. Irma always thought she had all the patience of Job until we had children, didn't you, sweetheart? They'll sure try you. But hang in there. Don't give up. That just means you're not perfected yet. God's not through with you. He's still working on you. But, don't quit. Stay in there. How do you love the unlovable? Well, you do it as an act of your will and stay away from them. I can love them and not like them. I don't have to be around them. How to secure victory over self? Oh, beloved. Hey, listen. That's a real question. Jesus in Luke 9:23 said to those that were there, He said to them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." In John 12:24 He said, "Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The indication both those passages are that the self-life needs to be killed. How do you do it? The answer is you can't do it. 8th chapter of Romans says, "If you walk after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live." If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's the work of the Spirit of God. And the way that the old self-life is killed is through crucifixion. You cannot crucify yourself. Did you know you can't commit suicide on a cross? You can't do that. Somebody's got to nail you on it. And if you're serious about the old self-life, the old self-nature being killed, you pray and give the Holy Spirit of God permission to nail you to the cross. Now you be careful praying that. You be very, very careful, because when you do, He's going to listen. He's going to take it your word and get ready. You've got to be willing to let Him crucify the old self-nature in you. One more question, we'll quit. How can you know whether it's God's call you keep hearing or your own voice telling you that you should do this thing? A couple of things. One of them is, God's will is never in opposition to His Word. If what the voice is telling you to do does not fit the Bible, then obviously it is not of God. You see, there are two signals being sent. The devil's got his transmitter and God's got His. And you got to be careful, because sometimes our receivers are not tuned in adequately and we're receiving from the wrong transmitter. But one way to figure out which transmitter you're listening to is to see if it fits the book. If it fits the book, may well be the will of God. If it doesn't, forget it. It's coming from the wrong place. And again, Psalm 37, "Begin to delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." And God is not playing hide and seek with us. Did you know that? God is not trying to hide His will from us. God wants us to know His will more than we want to know it. But in order, He does not reveal His will in order that we may consider it. He reveals His will in order that we may do it. And until we come to the place where we say to Him, "God, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to stay, I'm willing to do this, I'm willing to quit," until we get in that position, neutral if you please, we're not in a position to really receive the transmission from God. Same question. How can you rid yourself of lust? You'll have to ask somebody older than me. Somebody asked a professor out at, I think it was the Biola years ago. The old professor was 70 some odd years old. The young man asked him, said, "How old do you get, Prof, before lust ceases to be a problem?" He said, "I don't know, son. You'd have to ask somebody older than I am." Oh, I think that's going to be with us, beloved. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And is the intensity of it and the attack of it becoming more intense and more frequent, or less intense and less frequent? And does the attack last not as long or longer? If the occurrences are less frequent, the intensity is less, the time that it's a problem is less, you're going in the right direction. Praise God. March on, because it's going to go away. You're going to get victory. You're going to be helped. But boy, I'll tell you, if it's increasing, then you better take some drastic steps. Listen, I appreciate it. Wish we'd get to all of them, but we can't. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for the privilege of fellowshipping with these dear people who are your people. And I really believe with all my heart, God, that they're the troops out in front. And I pray that you might strengthen them. Lord, help them to operate on divine power, that a lost and dying world might get a clear look at Jesus and not just a caricature of Jesus. Lord God, help us to so reflect Him in our everyday walk that people will know that we've been with Jesus. And I pray it in His precious name. Amen.